and that our will be open to follow the Word of God and to say, that's for me. Not just the person next to me, not just the person in the other section that I know is doing wrong, but that's for me. That bit of freedom that we hear today in the gospel, I want you to know it's for you. Here, matter of fact, on the count of three, say, it's for me. One, two, three. It's for me. I hope you all are sure, because it's heavy duty. This is one of the most lying in the sand, calling us out to a life that pleases God, verses that you can find in the scripture. Maybe the highlight of this gospel, this book, in Galatians. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. And I want you to hear the word, and we'll pray, and then we'll just turn it loose on us. Turn God loose on us. Verses 19 through 21 in the book of Galatians. It says this: "For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Let's pray. Father God, I know today you're calling to me. I know it's for me. And I know that you have a message for all of us in this room. I pray we'd be fertile soil. The kind that when your word falls onto it, bears much fruit. I know that you are calling us into a place, calling us to prepare our lives for the work you would have us to do in this world. I know that this is a serious moment in the history of our church. So, Father God, give us that mindset. Give us that openness. Give us that readiness to yield to your word, to yield our lives to Christ, to be found in your grace and not holding on any righteousness or works that we've done ourselves. Father, strip us of those things. Help us to die to that way of life so we might truly live to God. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get started, there's something I have to teach you about law and grace. There's something that we just need to know about law and grace so that we can understand this passage of Scripture. There's something we need to know about it. You won't have to wonder long why I have the illustrations. The law is like a mirror. Do y'all see? Can you see you? The mirror is a little bit dingy. But do y'all see yourselves? Might not be happy. Oh man, my hair messed up. It wasn't supposed to go that way. Here, can we see more people now? Fixing there. Can you see more? I don't like the full length mirror. I like to keep it just, you know, head and shoulders only. The law does this. It reflects something. The law says you're a sinner. The law says you have failed. The law says this: you shall not commit adultery. What happens to that person who says, but I have committed adultery? The law says thou shalt not murder. And Jesus added to that saying, if you want to kill your brother, you hate your brother without reason, it's the same thing as murder. And you say, ooh, I've hated without reason. The law points out if you got dirt on your face. The law says, don't have any God beside the one true God. Do not make for yourselves any idols that you would bow down and worship them. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Do not forget about the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do not dishonor your mother and father. Matter of fact, honor your mother and father. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie and bear false witness. And don't covet what belongs to your neighbor. Holy moly. Do you know that God just got us with that list? Every single one of us. Because James adds to the law the sticky, sticky trap. He says, if you broke it in one part, you've broken every part. Oh! The Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, if you want to be with the Father, you need to be perfect as He is perfect. And then we go, but Lord, how can that be? Since the law tells me, it shows me who I am. It shows me my faults. It shows me my face is dirty. And you know something about a mirror? A mirror is useless at getting the dirt off your face. I'm going to do this illustration. I'm going to take my glasses off. And y'all will see how silly this is. It goes beyond the proper use of a mirror for me to look and say, I have some dirt on my face. I really do have dirt on my face. But I have some dirt on my face. I still got dirt on my face. Oh, the dirt is not coming off my face. Oh, and I'm fat. Oh. And my clothes are wrinkled. And I don't match or whatever. This just shows me the problem. I'm not going to get rid of the dirt or anything else with this mirror. Especially not this mirror. Y'all help me out with this when we're done. This will be the day we always remember. Hey. Let me remind you. Hey, that's not what I intended to do. And y'all be careful, but I want you to understand this. There is a point where we say, this doesn't work. This does not work. The law will not remove from me that it points out that I have. The law says I've sinned. And then it says, na, 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 na. It can't help. But when we turn to the cross, you know what we find? We find that what Jesus Christ has done is like a washcloth in a basin of warm water. And it says, come here, because there's dirt here. And there's a spot here. And there's something here that you got to get rid of and you can't on your own. It says, let me make you clean. The law just says, you're dirty. The cross says, you can be clean. Amen. The law says, you have sinned. And the soul that sinned must die. And the cross says, but you can be forgiven so that you can have everlasting life in Christ. Do y'all get the difference? It's so important that we understand this. As we go on in the book of Galatians, it's a light. It's a book about living for God. It's a book about being filled with the Spirit. It's a book about what Christian life is ought to be like. But if we don't get this point, if we don't take the steps of freedom towards living for God that are described in the verses we just looked at, we'll always be stuck in that rat race using a broken mirror trying to fix us. We'll always get stuck when somebody says, yeah, but you still got this problem and you still got that problem. And who do you think you are? And you still don't dress right, and you still don't go right places, and you still don't talk right, and you still don't got everything licked. And we'll fall to that trap. We'll fall to that tyranny if we don't get this. That this is a broken system, and this fixes broken people. Amen. Did we get that? Amen. Now listen to the word. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live toward God. The very first step of freedom that we must take is coming to agree with what the law says and then taking our condition to Christ. I, through the law, died to the law. The law said, you're a sinner, John. You're a sinner, a hopeless sinner. And I say this. The Lamb of God has come to take away my sin. It's not for me to disagree with it. I can't disagree. The mirror just tells me the facts. The mirror tells me. And all I'm doing is saying, yep, that's right. Now I'm taking myself, because of Jesus Christ's cross, I'm taking myself to Him to be cleaned. The law said, you've sinned and you should die. And I said, you're right. Now let me go to Christ. Let me come to God that I might live. But if we're not willing to confess, if we're not willing to say, the law has nailed me, it's done, pegged me out, then we're going to keep trying to live according to its game. We're going to keep slapping that mirror against our head until it breaks or we break. And let me tell you, in real life, we break. The law doesn't. We break. It doesn't. And we just end up being somebody who's cutting our hair a certain length, who's wearing certain kind of clothes, who's not wearing certain kind of jewelry, who's doing certain things, and all this man-made stuff, and clinging to an empty hope that we can make ourselves right with God through works, through religion, through good deeds. We got to die to that. The very first step to freedom in Christ is that we die to the law. We die. Listen, he says, I've died to it. I've died to it. He uses an example, and it's in our daily devotion at the end of your bulletin, in Romans chapter 7. And he says this in Romans 7, and I'm paraphrasing. You don't need to turn there. You'll get it this week. He says, we need to realize that we've died to the law in the same way like a person, if their spouse dies, they're no longer to be in a relationship with that spouse. They're free to marry another. And Paul says, that's the way we are to the law. It's like we were bound to him like a wife to a husband, but that husband now, but there's a death, and that bondage has been broken, and we're free to give ourselves to Christ. We are free to say, it's no longer about me. It's no longer about what I can do in these works of the law. It's no longer about meeting the measuring stick that says, okay, well, I kept the Sabbath. I didn't like it, but I kept it. Okay, well, I haven't thought hateful about anybody today. I haven't committed adultery today. We end up with a Bill Clintonitis, and this isn't political, it's just humorous, and it's on the national stage. I did not have intercourse with that woman. Oh, really? I don't know what. Anyways, we don't want to get into that, but that's what the law does to us religiously. It makes us choose and pick and try to just find loopholes. We got to die to that loophole religion way of life. If we're going to live to God, we got to die to the religious side. We have to go. Now, maybe it hurts. You know, he used the idea of a spouse dying. You know, there's some hurt in that, isn't there? A whole lot. Because sometimes we say, that was our sweet old religion. That was our old time, our tradition. That was the way I've always lived. And it's just so uncomfortable to be, you know, what am I supposed to do if I'm living on to God without all my rules? But I'm telling you, if it's uncomfortable, it's all right. Let it be. Be uncomfortable. It's all right to be uncomfortable as long as you're free. It's all right to be uneasy as long as you don't have to carry that burden around with you anymore that says, Christ took care of part of it. He cleaned part of my face, but now it's my job to clean the rest. We don't have to carry around those heavy suitcases full of guilt and shame and sin, because I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is our guilt offering. He is our sin offering. He's our shame offering. He's the Lamb of God. He's the scapegoat of God. He's all of it, all wrapped up in one. And we have to live unto Him. That's the first choice. We die to this way. We die. We pass from death to life. And it sounds strange, doesn't it? But you read in the Gospel of John where Jesus talks about it too. He says, those who follow me, it's like they've passed. When they hear my voice, they've passed from death to life. Right here, we're talking about I died to the law so I might live unto God. In Ephesians, it says you were dead in your sins and your trespasses, but you've been made alive now. We pass from death to life. That religion, that rules that binds us to a certain measure in a certain portion with loopholes, that's death. That's death to the Spirit of God, what He wants to do in your life. It's death to your spirit. It's death It's death. It's corrupt. All it says is you're a sinner and you're going to pay the price. Step one is coming to the cross and allowing him to give that life-giving work. Step two, and somebody took my bulletin, so this is a test whether I can stick to it or not. But we moved. No, I want to test. Okay. Is there a bulletin? I don't think there's a thing in it. There's not a thing. Okay, there's a thing. Maybe there's a thing in this one. But here, let's see if I got step two. Step two is we move from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. Is that right? Yeah. All right. Self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. Listen, once Paul realized, I've died to the law. The mirror is no good for cleaning my face. It can't wipe it out. It only shows me that death is coming. I need to go to the life giver. I need to go to the Savior to clean me. He says, now I've moved from a life that was about I to a life that's about Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This is such an awesome picture, such an awesome step. It's no longer I. I'm fearful when I talk to Christians and I hear about all that Christ is going to do for them and all the blessings and all the prosperity and all the, and he's going to give me this and he's going to give me that. And I start thinking, is that just to make you big? Is the cosmic plan of God and the universe to make you big? Or is it to make Christ big? Not to make him big, but to show his bigness through us. Is it about us? Or is it about him? And we say, well, he died to save me, and that's all I care about. He saved me. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about them. I have this. I have that. I have that. And I think you need to take I to the cross, because not only does the cross clean us, but it identifies us with Christ and says, I've been crucified with him. Because when I recognized that I needed to die for my sin, remember the law told me I was a sinner. I agreed with the law. I am a sinner. And I know I need to die. Guess what? Miracle of miracles right here. Grace of grace. Jesus Christ died not for his own sin, but mine. Which means the death that I needed to die for my sins, he died for me. Now it's up to me to recognize that. He died for me. He died for me that I might live for him. I've been crucified with Christ. And yet I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. The sweet identification that says, you know what? You can say what you want about me, but my life is about Christ. You can think what you want about me. You can think all the negative, all the fanaticisms. You can think that I'm whatever you want. But my life really isn't about me. It's about somebody better. It's about someone much bigger. It's about someone who can really help people. It's about Christ. The death that my sin was bringing to me was taken on by Christ. Listen to verse in chapter 1, the first sermon we preached out of Galatians. We talked about the freeing power of the gospel. And I want you to hear this freeing power of the gospel. In chapter 1, verse 4, it says, starting in verse 3, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Who gave himself for our sins. We should have been on the cross. He took our place so that we could put our faith in him and say, he died in my place. He's the Lamb of God. He died in my place. I'm not living for me anymore. Now that, because he didn't just die on the cross, did he? I mean, he died on the cross, but what happened? That didn't end the story, did it? The story doesn't end there, does it? Please tell me it doesn't. Please tell me that Jesus didn't die for my sins and never rose again. Please don't tell me that you believe that he just was a martyr, just like any other martyr for any other cause, and he just died and he's still in a grave somewhere in the Middle East. Please don't tell me you believe that. Because he rose again. Amen. And because he rose again, he can live his life through those of us who've put our faith in his death. Does that make sense? Let's say that again. Because he lives, he can live through us who have put our faith in His death. But that means my life can't be about me. This is just old-fashioned. It just can't be a selfishness, a self-centeredness. Why? Let me ask you this. Why do you think throughout the two millenniums of church history have Christian people been willing to go to their death rather than deny the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you reckon that is? Why do you reckon in the last 100 years there have been more Christian martyrs than any other time in world history? Why do these people keep going forward and saying, I will not turn my back on Christ? Is it because they're trying to live to the letter of the law? Is it because they have a religion and they would lose face if they turned their back on their religion? I'm sorry. Y'all listen. I wouldn't do that for religion. I wouldn't do that just to save face, just to say, hey, I don't want anybody to think I'm a quitter. I don't want to think anybody bad of me. I would take the deal. I'll take, hey, just let me go back to my wife and kids. If it's just about religion, I'm not going to take any ridicule. I'm not going to take any mocking for Christ. I'm certainly not going to take any punishment for Him. You know why they marched forward? Because it wasn't about a religion, and it wasn't about them either. It was about Christ living in them. It was about Christ living in them. It wasn't about them anymore. Oh, Lord, help us to get to the place where our life is about Christ and not about us. Where we reckon ourselves dead to the law, dead to sin, and alive to God, and alive to Christ, because He's living powerfully through our lives. Oh, that people would see Christ in me. That people would hear Christ in me. That people would think of me and they'd think of Christ. Why? Because He's living through me. Because He's powerfully manifested in my life and He gets all the glory. I want Him to have the glory. But how could He have the glory if I'm still living for me? If I haven't saw myself on the cross? Man, I don't even have a life without the cross. I was crucified with Him. I have nothing worthwhile in heaven's eyes if it wasn't for me being crucified with Him. Oh, Lord, help us. Now, that's the second step. The third step. The first step is we change from death to life. Wow, what a wonderful work that God does in that. The second, again, is this wonderful working of God that says, it's no longer about me, but I've identified myself with His death so that He can live His life through me. Thirdly, we take a step from works, away from works, away from works, into faith. Away from works and to faith. This is talking about now how do we carry on our lives? How do we go on? If we've come to this point, we've come to the cross, we've seen our sin, we've acknowledged our sin before Him, the Savior cleans us. Now how do we live? Do we live with works? Do we come to a point? I want you to seriously think about this now. I'm going to try not to climb up on this chair in case it breaks and I fall on the broken mirror. But I want you to think about this now, but I really feel like climbing something right now, so forgive me. Have you come to Jesus Christ, confessed your sins to Him, gave your life over to Him, and then planned to continue on, not through His grace, not by faith, but by now doing all these good works? Are you holding on to your salvation because of the good works that you're doing? Is it because, you know, you say, look, Jesus got me up to this point. Up to now, it's all been Jesus cleared me of my past. Up to this second I came to Christ, He wiped all that away. But the second after I came to Christ, it was all on me. It was all about my works. After I came to Christ, it wasn't about faith. It wasn't about grace. It wasn't about the Spirit. It all came, the law came flashing back to me. I wish I didn't, you know, the mirror wasn't broken. But you know, I came to Christ, and yeah, that was a work of grace, but now that I've come to Him, I got to hold on to it by my works. I got to hold on to it by my religion. I've got to hold on to it by my goodness, by my strength, by my goodness, by the things I can do. So many people I've talked to, even if they don't articulate it that way, that is how they are living. They are living as if they can maintain and have to maintain their salvation by works. I want you to hear the apostle when he says this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do y'all hear that? The life I now live. What life do you now live, Paul? You've considered yourself dead to the law, dead to empty religion, alive to God. Now, what do, Paul? You've identified yourself with the cross. He died for my sins. How do you live now, though, Paul? Did he die just for those past sins? Did he die just for those really ugly sins? How do you live now, Paul? And he says this, the life I live now, to put it beyond dispute. This is beyond dispute. The life I live now, I live by faith. By faith. And y'all, listen, it's not a blind faith. It's not a blind, a glass all around. It's not a blind faith that just says, oh, I'm just going to live by faith. I'm just an ignorant old country boy and I'm going to live by faith. That's not what it was it? Not in the least bit. It was faith based on something. What is it based on? For the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. First and foremost, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came, the Word of God, who became flesh and dwelt among us, the Lamb of God who was slain, the one who is the very image and likeness of God. Why do I live by faith? First and foremost, because the Son of God. Second, and just as important, it's not a blind faith. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not a blind faith because it involves my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and furthermore the belief that he loves me and that he would cross eternity to die on my cross to set me free. He loves me. Do you understand? He frees us. And do you understand what it says? And I know I'm saying understand a lot. I really want you to understand. It says in the past tense, he loved me. For the Son of God loved me. Past tense. That means it was an action. And I want us to get this. It's the reason why I'm pairing these things together. He loved me and gave himself for me. Don't ever separate those things. When you see this, you see the love of God manifest. Not this one in particular, but you know what it stands for. When you think of the cross, when the cross comes to mind, this isn't pity. This isn't any other kind of emotion. It's love. Love manifested. Love personified. He loved me and gave himself for me. These are always connected. Some people think if God doesn't give me a Cadillac, he doesn't love me. Cadillac's got nothing to do with love. If God doesn't heal me, he doesn't love me. If he doesn't do this, he doesn't love me. If you're still looking for the answer to whether or not God loves you, you have not come to the cross. If you are still exploring whether or not the God of the universe has a heartbeat for you, you have not come to the cross. Because the cross echoes throughout the ages. I love you, I love you, I love you. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4 says, in this is love. Not that we first loved him, but that he first loved us. And how is it manifested? And I'm paraphrasing this, but it's in 1 John 4. He showed us love by sending his Son to die for us. There is no other basis of love, Christian folks, church, anybody, listen. Here is the benchmark of love. There ain't no boyfriend you're going to have love you more than this. There ain't no grandbaby that you're going to love that's a stronger love than God showed on the cross. There is no greater love than that he laid down his life for his friends. You understand? And so, when we're choosing, when we're living for God, we have to reckon that it's not about works anymore. When it was about the law, it was about works. Can you undo the good with the bad? Can you undo the bad with all your good? Can you make it balance out? That's what the law always wants to know. The law has to be balanced out. Can you balance it out? No. The life I live now, I'm not trying to balance it out. I'm just trying to put all my mind, heart, and soul into believing in the Lord Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, the Son of God. When we believe on his name, the Bible says that we have been given the authority to be called the children of God. Faith brings us into the family of God. Not works. Not because you're good boys and good girls. Not because you're good religious folks, good Christian folks, good church folks. Does not bring you into the family of God. Faith in Christ makes you a child of God. That's why it's about faith and not works. Last but not least, it's a step from religious righteousness to God's grace. A step from religious righteousness to God's grace. And this is how the apostle summed this up. He said, because of these things, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if it was possible, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. He's saying, although, you know, I want you to think about who's talking here. The apostle Paul, when he's writing this, he's saying, although I have a lot going for me as far as works, I was born into the right race. I was taught by the right teachers. I speak the right language. I know the right people. He says this, I don't set aside the grace of God. I know that even with, in my case, I could never please God with my works. My religion could never please God. Therefore, I don't set aside the grace of God. To set aside means to say, I don't think I need it. I don't need that right now. I don't need this right now. I'm doing good on my own. Can you imagine? I don't need the grace of God. I've talked to people who said, I don't think I'm that bad. I've talked to people who said, I don't think I really need God. I'm doing okay myself. They've set aside the grace of God because they think they're doing a good work. Because I walked an aisle. I've been baptized. You going to heaven? Well, I've been baptized. What has that got to do with it? Cut it out. You know, drop all that. Listen, I can't preach to all them. I got to preach to us, right? If we could huddle up right now, I'd say huddle up. And I'd say, listen, Christ Community Church, understand, in this church, and as God takes us beyond these four walls into this community, which he is doing and going to continue to do, remember, we're not trying to make those folks or any folks good people. We're not trying to judge them and make them look like us. Say, oh, well, you know, you're not really a church unless your preacher's, you know, a big fuzzy guy who dresses casually. We're not trying to set up a new law that looks like us. You don't have church unless you got a really great praise band. We're not trying to set up a church that looks like us. When he takes us out of there, let's leave all our religious stuff alone, right? And let's embrace the grace of God that says this, come to me and you can find forgiveness of sins. You can find freedom. You can find joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness, things that aren't otherwise produced by folks unless the Spirit's working in them. Hold on to God's grace. And if somebody points out to you that you have some faults of your own, and that you have some failings of your own as we go out, which they will. Well, who are you to tell me that? You know, you got this and that. And say, every step I take is by the grace of God. You know what? You're right. I'm not perfect, but I'm his kid through faith, and grace has covered me. Oh, that's where we are. That's where we are. Y'all listen, there's a line in the sand. I was going to invite you to come up here, but God chose to make me break the glass. There's a line in the sand that's drawn in this verse. It says this. It says, if you're going to live for God, you can't serve two masters. You got to leave religion alone. If you're going to live for God, you got to leave that other stuff alone. We're about to move into a time in the book of Galatians and I hope in our church history, where God is moving in us, living to do the things He's called His church to do. I feel like we're moving. There's, you know, to have freedom in Christ means a freedom to do the things He would have us to do, to be the people He would have us to be, to express that. We're moving that way. But if we don't get this, that our life is about faith, not works, that our righteousness doesn't come from the fact how we do church, but it comes from God's grace and through Christ's sacrifice. If we haven't come to these conclusions, we will be hindered until we drop that stuff by the side. You personally will be hindered because you're still dragging these things and saying, I got to work, I got to do these things. But let me tell you about a person set free. They don't serve the Lord because they got to. They serve the Lord because they get to.
Amen.
They don't sing praise to God because they want, they have to. They sing praise to God because they can't help it. Because they love Him. And they're free in their heart. They don't come to church because people will look at them weird next time they come. They come to church because they want to. Because they get to. Because it's awesome. Because He's awesome. That's a life of freedom in Christ. And that's where this book of Galatians is about to go to. Talking about the Spirit inside of us. Talking about what Christ wants to do in us. But if we're not determined to die to this old religious way that thinks we're getting points for heaven, we will be hindered. And listen, Christ Community Church, we don't want to be hindered that way. We want to experience. We want to live. And I know I'm speaking for us, but I'm the pastor and I get to do that from time to time. We want to live out that great commandment He's given us to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We want to be a part of that commission He gives us to make disciples and to baptize and to teach. Not because we have to, but because it brings us no greater joy than to bring glory to our God and Father who's worthy. We live for God today. We live for God today. Because of what He's done, He's made you free to live for God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Father, take the truth of your word. Take the moving of the Spirit, Lord, that's even happened today and apply it deeply into our hearts. Give freedom today. Father, I know there's people in here who struggle with this. I know there's people who are caught up and buried under with sin. I know there's people caught up and buried under guilt. I know there's people in this place who have a burden of religion on their shoulders. And Father, I just pray you'd help them to throw it off. To let go of those handles. Stop carrying that stuff. I know they can't do it until they turn their face to you. So Father, today, I'm asking that for the sake of your glory, for the sake of the freedom of your people, help them to turn their eyes to the cross. Help us to turn our eyes to the cross, to realize it's been paid in full. Oh, Jesus. You lay down your life for us. I have no right. I have no way. I have no truth. I have no life without you. But because of you, I have those things, and the way to the Father is open. If you need freedom today, if you need freedom from these things we've talked about, if you're ready to leave religion and embrace this relationship with Christ, maybe it's for the first time. Maybe you're saying today, I need to be saved. If that's you, raise your hand up today. If you need to give your life for the Christ, if you need to give your life to Christ for the first time, raise your hand up so I can pray for you. Raise your hand up so I can say, yeah, He's died to set you free. He's died to put you on the road to heaven. He's died to live through your life so He can have glory in your life. If that's you, raise your hand up. If you're here today and you've given your life to Christ, but you've been bound down by the and burdened by the law and by religion, and you need freedom, you need a free walk with Christ, and you're ready to turn your eyes to Him in faith, you're ready to drop those bags, get rid of that burden, and put your faith fully in Christ, believing he has paid it all, believing that you have identified yourself with him on the cross, raise your hand up so I can pray for you. If that's you, let me pray for you. Amen. Y'all wrestle with this as you go home. Find freedom. It's there in Christ. It's there in Christ. I'm going to pray for the offering as the ushers come down. And let's just pray together. Lord God, I pray for all of us here that you'd give us freedom in Christ. For those who have never trusted you, Father, to the ones who have said, raising their hand, I need to look to Christ. I need to look away from this law, from this religion, from this me being good on my own. And I need to look fully at Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has loved me. Oh, help me to base my life on the bedrock, the surety of Christ's love for me. There can be no doubt. The cross echoes it. There can be no mistaking that he loves me. Help us, Lord, to base our lives on that. For the offering, I pray, Lord, that you would bless us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.